I'd like to call to order this December the 16th, 2021 meeting of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in, and witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are recorded. Decisions of this board are final. Challenges to decisions of this board must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have cell phones or other noise-making devices, if you will, please turn them off at this time. And join me, stand, and we will have the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Father, we just thank you for a day to come together as members of the public and members of this board to do the business of this city. Father, I ask that you give us wisdom and help us to make good decisions here. Give us eyes that see and ears that hear, Lord, and soft hearts and wise hearts, Lord. Father, we just ask you to bless the marriages and families of Chatham County. In Jesus' name, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. We have items requested to be removed from the final agenda. 1108 Stiles Avenue, side yard setback variance request. 21-006319. Do I hear a motion to remove this from the final agenda?
Move to approve.
Okay, Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to approve removing this from the final agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yeah.
Mr. Evans? Oh, excuse me, Mr. Evans isn't here. Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes, and this is removed from the final agenda. Next is the approval of the minutes from the November 18th, 2021 meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion.
All right, Mr. Condon has made a motion to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Plunk. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes and the minutes are approved. Next, do I hear a motion to approve the final agenda as you see it before you?
So moved.
All right, Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to approve the final agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
And Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Okay, moving right along. First item on the regular agenda is 804 East 35th Street. It's a variance to the minimum lot area, 21-006321. We'll begin with the staff report.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. Melissa Lito, MPC staff. Let's see. Just opening up the items. The applicant is requesting a 6-square-foot lot area variance from the 3,000-square-foot lot area requirement for a property located within the traditional residential single-family TR-1 zoning classification to subdivide an existing 5,888-square-foot lot. The proposed 2,994-square-foot lot area does not meet the required minimum lot area of the 3,000 by 6 square feet. The subject property is located on the, thank you very much, Julie. Is located on the north side of East 35th Street with East 34th Lane on the south side in the Midtown neighborhood within the traditional residential single family zoning district. Again, the subject property is 5,888 square feet of lot with an existing 1-story building that the petitioner is planning to subdivide. This is the subject property with the existing structure, and they are removing the driveway here, and they are going to be creating two parking spaces facing the lane. And the petitioner submitted an application for a minor subdivision on October 28, 2021, and subsequently was told by MPC staff that the proposed subdivision did not meet the required minimum lot area. All 19 parcels located along the north and south side of the East 35th Street, between Harmon and Paulson Streets have a lot depth of 92 feet, as the subject parcel does. However, the parcels vary in lot width. There are four parcels out of the 19 developed parcels, including the subject parcel, that have a lot of area less than the required minimum 3,000 square feet. Here we have the sandbar map from the 1916 base map, indicating the subject parcel included 802, 804, and 810 East 35th Street residential dwellings, as well as two accessory buildings. Based on the sandboard map from the 1955 base map, it indicates 810 East 35th Street became a separate parcel from 803 and 805 East 35th Street. This is the proposed plat the petitioner is requesting approval for. The requested variance is not consistent with the intent of the ordinance. However, the requested variance for 6 square feet of lot area may be minimal of a request and may not adversely affect the welfare of the neighborhood, as this is a small request. This would most likely not change the existing development pattern within the surrounding area. The lot area variance is for 6 square feet. If the variance is granted, the minimum variance necessary to make possible the use of the land, building, or structures, the subject property would require a variance to the 6 square feet of lot area in order to subdivide. And there is an existing one-story residence located on the parcel, which limits the applicant from subdividing without a need for a variance. And staff recommends, based on the variance criteria, approval for the variance request for 804 East 35th Street. I am here to answer any questions, as well as the petitioner, Rayfield Reeves, for the representing for the Live Oak Living LLC. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff?
Can you pull up a copy of the Sages map? Well, and you may have the information right there. You discussed it briefly. What do the other lot faces look like? I mean, they're all 32 and.
Okay.
They all have a lot depth of 92 feet.
But the width.
But the widths vary. I have that. Let's see here. Four parcels out of the 19 developed parcels, which are on the lane, both facing East 35th Street. So I counted that block between Paulson and I believe it was Harmon, and four parcels out of the 19 developed parcels, including the subject parcel, have a lot of area less than the required minimum 3,000 square feet. So four out of 19 have less than 3,000 square
feet. But that's if approved, when you say the subject? That's
if that would be including, so three parcels currently, oh. Yes. And then, yeah, that would be it. Because some have like larger lots, some have the width varying. They're not completely consistent.
Is there a minimum width?
Yeah, 30 feet is okay. A minimum width.
And they're asking for 32, a width of 32?
They are asking for, I believe it is a 29 something.
Okay, hop back to the other map, the first map.
Which one? I think that's the only map I have.
Well, the survey, I guess.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. That report.
Okay, so that 32 down there is not accurate. Does that say 32?
Correct. They're going for it's 32 when actually the minimum is 30, but they're going for lot area and not lot width for this subject parcel. So the entire lot area is less than 3,000. It's for the proposed, it would be 2,994 square feet. And so that's why there's a 6 square foot variance requests from the 3,000.
Okay.
Any other questions for staff? Okay, thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward? I'm going to ask you when you get up here, you and anyone else that wants to speak, for this request or any of the other ones, I want to swear y'all in, please, give sir. Testimony. If you're going to speak today, if you're at home online, if you'll do this at home, raise your right hand, please, and repeat after me. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God.
I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, the truth. So help me God.
All right. Thank you. If you will, state your name for the record.
My name is Rayfield Reeves.
Okay. You have anything you'd like to add?
No, sir. So you pretty much had everything on there. It's just the minimum lot requirement of the square footage. It just falls just shy of the 3,000. The only request we're looking for.
All right. Is there any questions for the petitioner? Okay. Well, thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? If you're online, if you'll use the raise your hand feature, we'll recognize you and give you a chance to speak. Okay. Well, hearing none. We'll move on to board discussion. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, not at this time.
Mr. Plunk? Mr. Griffith?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No.
Well, then, would someone care to make a motion concerning this petition?
Move to approve.
Ms. Jarrett has made a motion to approve the request for variance, and Mr. Plunk has seconded that motion. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, I want to make a revision on the request. It's not for 6 square feet, it's for 56 square feet. But just doing the math.
Well, then I guess the motion to approve the request for 6 square feet. Mrs. Jarrett, would you like to withdraw your motion or?
How about if I amend my motion and move to approve 56 square feet?
Okay, Mrs. Jarrett wants to amend her motion to approve 56 square feet. Is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
Seconded amendment is seconded. Is there any discussion on the amended motion? All right, then Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Okay, the motion is approved and the variance for 56 square feet is granted. Moving on to 506 East 40th Street, there's a variance request to the minimum lot width and maximum lot area, 21-006320.
This item before you, 506 East 40th Street, is a 5,520 square foot lot with an existing two-story building that the petitioner is planning to subdivide into two separate lots. The developed lot with a two-story residence would have a 30-foot lot width. The undeveloped land would have 29.15 in lot width. Both proposed lots are approximately 92 feet in depth, and the minimum lot dimensions for the TN2 zoning classification are 30 feet in lot width with a minimum lot area of 3,000. One of the proposed lots would be less than 1 foot short of the required 30-foot lot width and a proposed lot area of 2,681.8 square feet of lot area in comparison to the required 3,000. The lot with the two-story residence would have a 30-foot lot width with a 2,760 square foot lot area based on the required 3,000. This is the existing two-story structure. And over where the wooden fence is would be where the proposed lot will be located.
Is that a parking space there?
Yes, there is. And this is the petitioner's proposed plat for the subdivision. The petitioner applied for a minor subdivision on October 28th, 2021, and subsequently was told by MPC staff that the proposed subdivision did not meet the required minimum lot width as well as lot area. The petitioner, Rayfield Reeves for Live Oak Living LLC, is requesting less than 1 foot of a lot width variance to the minimum 30-foot lot width and variances to the minimum lot area for the purpose of subdividing a 60-foot wide lot into two lots. The resulting lots would be, again, 2,681.8 and 2,760 square feet, where 3,000 square feet is the minimum lot area. Based on the 1916 Sanborn map, indicates the subject parcel included 506 and 508 East 40th Street residential dwellings as one accessory building. The 1955 base map, Sanborn map, indicates 506 and 508 East 40th Street are still located within the same parcel as well as an accessory garage to the rear of the parcel. The subject property has the same lot depth as most properties in the vicinity and is currently conforming with lot size and lot width. There are no special conditions or circumstances that are apparent. The literal interpretation of the provisions of the regulations would not deprive the applicant of rights enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district under terms of the ordinance. There are 6 parcels out of the 26 developed parcels, including the subject parcel, that have a lot area less than the required minimum 3,000 square foot in lot size. The variances, if granted, are the minimum variances necessary to subdivide the property. The subject property would require a variance to the minimum lot width for one proposed parcel. Both proposed parcels require variances to the minimum lot area to subdivide, as there is an existing two-story residence located on the parcel, which limits the applicant from subdividing without a need for these variances. However, due to the small request, less than 1 foot in width and a max of 40 square feet on one parcel and a max of less than 19 square feet on the other parcel for lot area, this is a minimal request. Based on upon the variance criteria, staff recommends approval of the variance request for 506 East 40th Street. And I am here as well as the petitioner, Rayfield Reeves, for any questions.
Are there any questions for staff? Go ahead, Mr. Jerry.
Can you tell me where parking is going to occur?
There is no proposed parking other than, oh, sorry.
Come on.
Isn't that one of the requirements of designing?
Sorry, I mean, yeah, there is no proposed parking other than the than off-street parking because there is no lane in the back for that access.
Isn't that a requirement for this design? Parking, off-street parking?
It is a requirement. It is a requirement. As the last item, we requested you to provide parking spaces in the rear. And I understand this one doesn't have a lane, but you would have to provide parking in the front then. Okay. One for each house.
We could do that. I mean, as long as obviously that falls into a building, I guess the building department, as far as how backyard setbacks and stuff like that, we can push that building back. But I'm not opposed to doing any parking on the property as well. I mean, anytime I can get parking on off-street parking on some of our properties, we definitely try and do it.
Is there room with the existing house to put an off-street space and not have it encroach into the sidewalk?
So really at this point, we haven't even really looked at what size house we're going to put there until we were sure.
The existing house.
Yes, ma'am. So the main thing what we got into is trying to save this historic house that's there.
Understood.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I'm not sure. I haven't really looked down the block or across the street. I know I was just realizing when she put that up that the 508, which actually was burned down when I think this one caught on fire. I don't think they had any. I'm trying to think if the ones across the street as well have any off-street parking reserved.
But they're existing residences.
Yes, ma'am. Correct.
Is there any other questions for staff? Okay. Well, the petitioner has already come forward. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, other than just regarding the parking. I mean, we're happy to try, you know what I mean, work it out to get that on there. If we need to figure out a rendering for the, you know, for the site plan, now that, you know, the basis of approval to be able to get that, if the requirement, you know, obviously you stated it does have to have one, I guess it's one off-street parking space
per building.
Yes, per building.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm guessing would be something that he'll have to take up with getting his permit or getting his plans approved. He's only asking right now. It is an important question, I guess, in concerning this request for variance, but he's not asking for.
Existing building is and doesn't give him enough room. That kind of really affects his request.
It does. Are there any questions for the petitioner other than the parking question? Do you feel like you got the answer you're looking for?
I did.
Okay. So no other questions for the petitioner. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? And I'll remind you, if you're online, use the raise your hand feature. We'll recognize you. No members of the public. Okay. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I'd kind of like to see this continued until we have some verification that we can get parking in there.
Okay. Mr. Plunk.
I understand Ms. Jarrett's request. I mean, I agree the parking is theoretically a separate issue, but I agree with her point that it's not a separate issue if we're setting up something that then he would have to come make a second request if there's no possible way he could do it. So I do agree in this case, they do have to kind of be considered as one thing. It makes sense to me.
Mr. Griffith?
No comment.
Mr. Condon?
I agree with Ms. Jarrett. I think we should request the petitioner postpone and come back to us with a parking solution.
So are you okay with that? Are you going to make a request to continue it?
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, I'm here to work with everyone to get it, you know, to to get it taken care of. And, you know, both, like I said, the main issue was going into that project was to try and save that house, and it's.
I appreciate that.
It's a tough one.
The solution may well be helping two variance requests. I mean, it may also be that you come with us, come before us with a request for off-street parking variance on this lot, or maybe you are able to work something out.
I'll try, because it does go, it goes a long way to have the off-street parking.
Otherwise, we'll just have to see a second time anyways.
All right.
So the petitioner has made a request to continue his petition. Is there a motion to grant that?
Motion to grant that.
Mr. Plunk has made a motion to continue this application. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jarrett. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
And Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Okay. So this is continued until further notice. The next, we're going to hear 2318 Barnard Street, a variance request for a 5-foot reduction to the minimum 5-foot minimum rear yard setback requirement, 21-006315.
All right. Good morning again, Melissa Lita. 2318 Barnard Street is currently a vacant lot within the Streetcar Historic District. The petitioner proposes to construct a 2-story main house facing Barnard Street and a 2-story carriage house on Howard Street to the rear of the subject parcel. This block does not have a lane, yet acts as a lane to the properties on the subject parcel's block, Howard Street does, as well as the adjacent block east. Show you some photos. This is the front yard facing Barnard Street. This is the corner lot adjacent to the subject parcel that has an existing and has had an accessory dwelling structure with a zero lot line since 1916. And this is the subject parcel's rear yard facing Howard Street. And this is the other adjacent neighbor to the subject parcel. The applicant is requesting to section 8.7.4 III accessory dwelling units, whereas detached accessory dwelling units shall have a rear yard setback requirement of at least 5 feet, provided that if the accessory dwelling unit is located on a lot that abuts a lane, the rear yard setback shall be at least 3 feet. And the section ends with the following sentence. Within zoning districts that have no rear yard requirement for the principal structure, there shall be no rear yard setback requirement for an accessory dwelling. 2318 Barnard Street is located within the traditional neighborhood TN2 zoning district. The development standards in the TN2 zoning classification dictate there is a required minimum 5-foot rear yard setback for accessory dwelling units. The Sanborn map in stated 1916 indicates that there was a 2-story accessory structure with an automobile garage on the subject parcel. As you can see, every parcel on the subject block had an accessory structure with a zero rear yard setback, being a shed, a garage, or an accessory dwelling unit. The Sanborn map dated 1955 indicates the subject parcel included 2320 and 2318 Barnard Street as a 2-story duplex. Based on the map, 2316 and 2322 Barnard is the only one on this block that has a 2-story detached accessory dwelling unit with a zero rear yard setback. The 2310 Barnard Street parcel had a 1-story automobile garage with a zero rear yard setback. The applicant applied for a COA to the Historic Preservation Commission and was approved on November 22nd, 2021 for the new construction of the two-story principal house and the two-story accessory structure. HPC staff report states that the corner lot adjacent to the subject property is now the only accessory dwelling which remains along Howard Street, and the variance will allow for the two structures to be in line with one another. HPC staff found the setbacks proposed for the main building and the carriage house to be visually compatible, and HPC staff recommended, along with other conditions, that the variance to today's ZBA meeting be approved. And here's at the bottom where they're recommending approval for the ZBA variance. As the ZBA board members, as well as myself, the planner assigned to this variance request, we are required to review the variance through the TN2 development standards and the City of Savannah's variance criteria. The subject parcel is a vacant lot where the applicant could design within the TN2 development standards. Based on the proposed site plan, it conforms with the minimum 10-foot separation from the principal structure and the accessory dwelling structure by offering a 15-foot separation. The applicant could either move the accessory dwelling structure 5 feet closer to the principal structure, or would be able to meet the 5-foot rear yard setback, and would be able to meet the 5-foot rear yard setback, or they could build the accessory structure in a smaller footprint that would result in a 5-foot rear yard setback compliance. There are options that the applicant could choose from. However, their intention is to have a zero rear setback line. Show you their site plan. So here's their site plan, and I indicate the 15-foot separation. Based upon the review criteria, staff recommends denial of the requested variance for 2318 Barnard Street. I am here for any questions, and the petitioner representing the property owner, Ellen Harris, is here in person as well. Thank you.
Are there questions for the staff?
I have a question about the recommendation again from the Historic Preservation. Yeah, they recommended a 3-foot setback.
At the bottom there, we're recommended approval to the ZBA. They are recommending a zero rear yard setback line.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for staff? Okay, hearing none. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Good afternoon. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Ellen Harris. I'll take off my mask so you can hear me a little clearer. Thank you very much to MPC staff for that really thorough review. As you can see, I'm going to, if I can here, open up the as you can see, this is a vacant lot that the property owner is building a single family residence on as his primary residence, as well as a carriage house. As you can see from the development pattern on this map here, all the residences along that are located along Barnard Street face Barnard Street. None of them face Howard Street. And the same is true on the other side of the block. All of those residences all face Whitaker Street, and they all have their backs essentially turned to Howard Street. So in this particular block, in this particular area, Howard Street is essentially acting as a lane and always has historically, as staff showed in the Sanborn maps in 1916, there were carriage houses and automobile structures all along this carriage, this Howard Street at a zero lot line context. So we do feel that the special condition is the condition of Howard Street acting as a lane in this particular location, and therefore the variance criteria are met. Had Howard Street been termed a lane instead of a street, a zero rear yard setback would be permissible. But the zoning administrator determined that because Howard Street is termed a street, a 5-foot rear yard setback is required for a variance. We can meet the ordinance by moving the carriage house forward 5 feet. We would be in compliance with all the other standard. It doesn't jeopardize the project in any way. However, we feel that it'd be more important to reinforce the existing historic context, as well as reinforcing the historic pattern of what is still there partially and what was always there historically. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
Yeah. Is there parking underneath the?
Yes, sir. The parking is within the.
And the unit above it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Thank you, Mrs. Harris.
You're welcome. Thank you.
At this time, are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? And if you're online, use the raise your hand feature. Okay, no members of the public. At this time, we'll enter in board discussion. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Yes, if Howard Street were a lane, I wouldn't recommend the zero lot line because there would be no room to turn your vehicle into the garage. However, Howard Street being a street, I really don't have too much trouble with the zero lot line.
Right. Well, if Howard Street was a lane, there wouldn't be needing a variance either.
Understood.
So, yeah. Just kind of backwards. So, Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Mr. Condon? Okay. Well, I will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we approve the variance request for 2318 Barnard Street.
All right, Mr. Condon has made a motion to approve the request for variance. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Plunk. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the variance is approved. Next, we move on to 10 Alfred Street, lot width variance request, number 21-006310.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, the next item on the agenda is a lot width variance request for property at 10 Alfred Street. The petitioner is the property owner at 10 Alfred Street. The lot width requirement within this zoning classification is 60 feet for single family residential. Pardon me. The subject property is a 100-foot wide lot within the Woodville community. This is a tax map showing the location of the subject property on the north side of Alfred Street. The property is 15,200 square feet in size. It is a vacant lot, and the petitioner's intent is to subdivide the property to create two single family lots of 50 feet in width and 152 feet in depth. The intent of the proposed subdivision is to develop the subject properties, each with a single family residence. This is a street view of the subject property from Alfred Street, adjacent to an existing residence. And this is a property on across Alfred Street, roughly from the subject property. And this is adjacent residences to the subject property, which in this photograph would be to the left. These lots meet or exceed the minimum lot area. There are some vacant parcels that exist in the vicinity. However, the staff finds that the opportunity to maintain the historic development pattern is clearly present. In this exhibit, you'll see that between the SNA Railroad, which is to the west here, and the eastern terminus of Alfred Street, which is here, there are 19 total parcels, including both sides of the street. Among these, only two have a lot width of less than 100 feet. And of those two, one is developed with a single family residence and the other is a vacant property. The Woodville neighborhood historically included farm lots and personal agriculture. In the ensuing years, some of those lots became unused as personal residences due to changing lifestyles and the impact of some of the industrial uses within the neighborhood. In more recent times, a number of new single-family residences have been developed in the community, many of which this board has seen come before you for variance requests. In terms of the zoning criteria, or the variance criteria, I should say, staff found that the requested variance is not consistent with the intent of the ordinance and may adversely impact the welfare of the neighborhood by changing the development pattern. We also found that the subject property is essentially identical to properties in the vicinity and no special conditions or circumstances are apparent. We find that the literal interpretation of the provisions of the regulations would not deprive the applicant of rights enjoyed by other properties, and that there are no special special conditions associated with this particular variance request. We don't find that the variance is the minimum necessary to develop the property. The property could be developed similarly to other properties within the immediate vicinity. Staff did receive a letter from the property owner at 8 Alfred Street, which is immediately adjacent to the subject property. The letter reads as follows, and we did not attach this letter to the agenda because we received it after the agenda was published, but it reads, I am sending this letter because I am not able to attend the hearing. I have been a resident in Woodville for over 40 years, and I do not agree with the request of the petitioners, Kevin and Jason Allison, to have two 50-foot lots at 10 Alfred Street. Having the two lots subdivided will decrease the values of our property, which are zoned correctly. All the properties surrounding 10 Alfred Street are single family homes on 100-foot lots. It is also a hazard for parking being on the corner like that as well. I humbly ask the board to deny their request, and that's from Tamara Glover, property owner at 8 Alfred Street. I should mention for the record that this subject property does not include the corner lot. I think there is an existing 50-foot lot that is not a part of this, the petitioner's property. That Ms. Glover was referring to. But the highlighted property on this map is the subject property. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. What is the minimum lot width?
The minimum lot width in the RSF 6 zoning classification is 60 feet.
Okay.
So it's a 10-foot variance for the two proposed lots.
Is there any other questions for staff?
I do.
Okay, Mr. Cotton.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Well, thank you.
There is one 50-foot lot with a house on it on this entire block that I see.
Yes, sir.
Is that a historic, an older home that was built a long time ago?
Okay. Yes.
I assumed as much. Thank you, sir.
Any other questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, would the petitioner please come forward?
Petitioner may be online, either Kevin or Jason Allison. I don't believe they're present in the hearing room, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
They don't appear to be present, sir.
Okay, petitioner's not online.
Okay. If on the telephone or on the computer, the applicant for this petition is present, please make yourself known.
Okay, the petitioner apparently is not online or on the phone. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? If you're online, use the raise your hand feature. Our chair recognizes this gentleman here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Tyrone Ware. I'm president of the Woodville community. And like Mr. Lott said, we're a community with over 152 years old. Agriculture based, we just annexed into the city in 1977. And again, a lot of these petitioners have been coming before because we do have larger lot sizes. We also experience unprecedented growth, which is good growth. And it's not the onus on the builders to come out when they see these 100-foot lots and want to subdivide them to 50-foot lots. In some cases, we're agreeable with that. In this case, we're not agreeable because it will create a hazard on that corner. It's that corner has to share, if you notice, to the east, the street with tractor-trailer traffic that service those buildings there. The property owners who called in, they've been there much over 40 years. That property goes back in their family probably about 125 years. Again, we are experience unprecedented growth and good growth. And on the old ordinance, to create lot size that is not at least 75% of the average lot in the block phase area, we hope that you would adhere to that and agree with the staff recommendation to deny this petition.
Thank you very much, sir. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak? Do we have any online? Okay. And the petitioner still a no-show? All right, well then we'll move on to board discussion. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say?
It seems to me this is an area where we've had other subdivisions trying to make them in smaller lots. And what I've heard over and over again is the neighbors saying that's not what we want.
Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Mr. Condon?
This is a very specific request in a neighborhood that is really almost entirely 100-foot lots. And I agree with the gentleman from the Neighborhood Association that it does change the look when you start to, it's a slippery slope, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I don't normally like to vote on something when someone can't be here to represent themselves. So I would suggest that possibly we push this thing off and give them another opportunity to show up.
Mr. Lawson, do you have any idea why they didn't show up? Does anyone want to make a motion?
I agree with Mr. Condon, but I also hate the fact that we did have folks that did show up today,
yeah.
And then we heard nothing. There was no request to back this up or anything. It was just radio silence from them. So I hate to make these folks come back out, the gentleman that did show up today. So that's the other side of the equation.
So, a motion can be to approve or to deny or to table this entire thing.
I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
All right, Mr. Griffith has made a motion to accept staff's recommendations to deny the request. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jarrett. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, hearing none. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes and the request for variance is denied. Next, we will have the presentation of the 2022 Historic Preservation Calendar.
Mr. Chairman, as some of you will recall, every year, the last few years at least, the Historic Preservation Department has put together an annual calendar with a theme associated with something Savannah. So this year, they released their calendar, and it focuses on the book and movie Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. So I'm going to ask Leah Mahalik, the Historic Preservation Officer, to come up and tell you about the calendar.
Hi, everyone. It's good to see you. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Leah Mahalik, Director of Historic Preservation here. And Ms. Jarrett gets to hear this spiel twice. Do you want two calendars? That's the question. as Mr. Lawson mentioned, this year we decided to focus on Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. It's approximately the 25th anniversary between the book and the movie. So we focused on that this year, and I'll go through this a little bit. So we started with sort of a summary of the novel and the film, and we featured the cast as well as, Minerva, who is also part of the cast, and we'll talk about it in a minute, but she's based on a real-life Savannian. And then Bonaventure Cemetery, of course, where a lot of the book and movie take place. Jim Williams himself and the Mercer House. Parks and Squares featured in the book and movie. So, and this is sort of where the idea started, is Jim Williams's preservation work. He was an avid and prolific preservationist in the town, saving many buildings. Some are pictured here, and that also included the Mercer House, where he eventually lived. The Lady Chablis, of course, and Club One. So Savannah locals, and this is the woman that Minerva is based on. So Valerie Bowles, a local root doctor, and Mayor Floyd Adams Jr., who was Savannah's first African-American mayor, but was very involved in that time, getting the film industry off the ground here in Savannah. The Mercer Williams House, which I mentioned. The Savannah Society featured in the book and movie, different groups. The trials of Jim Williams, there were four. Local businesses featured in the book and movie. And finally, the Armstrong Kessler Mansion, which is one of the most prominent buildings that Jim Williams saved. And as everyone noticed, this is not the right rear page. We've fixed that on the printed one for the commission members. So, but anyone have any questions? I have hard copies for you.
I would just like to say that we are really blessed to have such amazingly talented folks at the MPC. This is beautiful, and we're really lucky to have you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks. I will make sure the staff knows that.
Thanks, Leah. Thank you. Hey, Leah, I want to talk to you after meeting's over for a second.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Lawson, is there anything else?
Just one last bit of housekeeping, Mr. Chairman. Before we adjourn today, I just wanted to make an introduction. We do have two new staff members who started this week. They're still here. They hung around. Mr. Jaquel Johnson, who will be working with Development Services, as well as Mr. Nirav Gandhi, who's official just started this morning. So planners will be helping us out. Mr. Johnson's from Atlanta. Mr. Gandhi joins us from Liberty County.
Great. Welcome.
Welcome and congratulations.
Yep. All right. Well, that concludes the meeting. I'd like to call it adjourned.